When you hear those words, take time to be holy, what comes to mind? What images of being holy come to mind for you? Yes.
Meditation.
Certainly a way to be holy, isn't it? To pause and have that time with God. Reading the Scripture. Feeding on God's Word. Anybody else? You know, God calls us to be holy. So I guess the starting point is probably to have some place to start there, to have some image in our mind of what that means.
Counting your blessings.
Counting our blessings, sure.
Caring for others.
Yeah, you know, we've been talking a lot about making friends and building relationships over the last few weeks. And it's interesting that we find right here in the hymn today, you know, when he says, take time to be holy. Speak oft with thy Lord. Abide in him always and feed on his word. Make friends of God's children and help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing his blessing to seek. Isn't it interesting? You know, that's for me, that personally anyways, that hasn't always been an image of what it means to be holy. You know, sometimes I do think more towards the meditative side of things. I think of that person sitting in the corner with the hands folded. Or when we call to come together for grace, or we come together with worship, making sure we sit in just the right position. But yet the hymn this morning reminds us that making friends with others is holy work too. Because none of us was created to live in a bubble. None of us was created to grow in our faith on our own. Jesus knew that. He stepped out of heaven and he began building relationships. We've talked about that the last couple of weeks. We've talked about him walking through the lives of others and calling them from what they were doing to come and to follow him. He'd teach them how to stop fishing for fish and start teaching for them to fish for friends. To fish for men and women and build relationships with people, just like he was doing. Today we find him not on the seashores of Galilee, but he's up on the meadows overlooking the Sea of Galilee. He's looking down on the tops of those palm trees that are bent over. He's looking down on those beaches that he's walked along and where he called those disciples from. He's with his disciples, but they're not alone. The multitudes have started to gather. The people have crowded him so much that he couldn't be down on the beach. He had to come up on the hill so he had enough room to speak to them. And so he begins to preach a message that goes on for a while. And he begins to really talk about the kingdom of God. Matthew's gospel talks an awful lot about the kingdom of heaven, about the kingdom of God. And it paints a picture that that's not like the world that we live in. That the relationships are different there. The people that are important in that kingdom are different than who the people around them have always seen as being important. And so he begins to preach the Sermon on the Mount. Not just to the thousands of people that are gathered there in that tall grass blowing in the wind, but to the very disciples that he called to walk with him the closest, in whom he wouldn't only speak to, but eventually would converse with later. About the things that he was teaching. So begin with chapter 5 of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning at verse 1. Jesus saw the crowds. So he went up on a mountainside and he sat down. His disciples came to him. Then he began to teach. He said, "Blessed are those who are spiritually needy, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. Blessed are those who are sad. They will be comforted. Blessed are those who are free of pride. For they will be given the earth. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirsty for what is right. For they're going to be filled. Blessed are those who show mercy. For they will be shown mercy. Blessed are those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. Blessed are those who make peace, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who suffer for doing what is right. The kingdom of heaven, it belongs to them. Blessed are you when people make fun of you and hurt you because of me. You are also blessed when they tell all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. Be joyful and glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, people hurt the prophets who lived long ago. So may God continue to pour out His blessing into these words and through these words, to let the truth of His love and His kingdom come among us in a very real way. The Beatitudes, as this part of the Sermon on the Mount has been called, have caused people to look past them, to look through them, to wrestle with them, to wonder with them, to cut them apart, to chew on them, to spit them back out, to try to explain them and understand them and live them out in all kinds of different ways down through the ages. This is another one of the, again, as you've heard me say before, sometimes we need to wrestle a little bit with some of the words that are there, because they're translated from another language. And so sometimes they have more of a meaning than that word has for us. You've heard me talk about the word love, and that in many cases in the Scriptures we could replace that word love with the word loyalty. A lot of this comes from my Hebrew Bible class with Professor Becky Wright, and from her studying with many other professors. And I offer it up as a way for us to just think and to reflect a little bit differently about what's being said this morning. Because she says that word blessed is another word that we really need to think about what it really means to the people who are hearing it, so that we can understand it in our own lives today. Because sometimes when you think about who Jesus is saying is blessed here, it just doesn't make sense. You know, when you start saying blessed are those who are being made fun of and who are being hurt, that doesn't sound like a blessed life to me. I don't know about you. That's something that I had always wrestled with. And she says we could take that word blessed and actually replace it with the words how honorable. So I offer that up as food for thought this morning. Think about some of these words as we replace blessed with how honorable. Because again, remember, Matthew's gospel talks about what the kingdom of heaven, what the kingdom of God is like. And he talks about the fact that it's a very different kingdom than what we're living in. And so he's talking about who's important in that kingdom. He says, how honorable are those who are spiritually needy? Because that kingdom belongs to them. How honorable are those who are hungry and thirsty for what is right? For they are going to be filled. These are powerful words that he's offering up to the people. You know, they lived in a world that was filled with chaos and conflict. They lived in a world where there were people that were hungry for power, where there were people that were hungry for more money, where there were people who wanted to climb higher in the social ladder to fill voids in their lives, and where they were fighting and arguing over what it meant to climb that ladder. Does that sound familiar? They lived in a world where people wanted to be right, because that would raise them above the others around them. Does that sound like our world at all? Do we ever hunger to be right? We see that lived out in all kinds of situations. In our personal lives, in our personal conflicts with ourselves, in our relationships with our families. We see it being lived out in our community in all kinds of different ways. We see it being lived out around the world in news. And we see the wars and the battles that are rising out of that. Nothing's changed. As the writer in Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. But what Jesus offers is something new this morning. He offers to the people on the hillside, and he offers to us, he says, how honorable are those who are really hungering for what's right. Really thirsting for what's right. Because they're going to be filled. He says, how honorable are those who show mercy, for they're going to be shown mercy. When you think about it, that's really some practical advice. How many times do we say we reap what we sow? Or some other quote that spins off of that verse. How often do we get in an argument with somebody that we really love and care for, and we see that argument, discussion, whatever you want to call it, escalating as we bounce words that are painful back and forth with each other? But how quickly that whole situation can change when somebody decides to show mercy. Says, you know what, just because you called me that, I don't have to call you something else. Let's just stop right here, take a deep breath, and start over again. You know, my kids growing up, little, that was one thing, you know, when things just didn't seem to be going the way we thought they would in the morning. My daughter was good for that. Allie would often say, can't we just start over again? In my adult mind, I said no, because we've already started. But God calls us to come with the faith of children. He calls us to see the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, to see life in a different perspective. And to say, yes, actually we can just start over. If we want to be forgiving, if we want to show mercy, if we want to let those things slide and move forward together, we can. That's what Jesus is saying to the disciples. You can live differently than everybody else around you is doing it right now. He said, blessed are those, how honorable are those whose hearts are pure. Isn't it good that he didn't say how honorable are those whose hearts are perfect? How honorable are those who live the perfect life? How honorable are those who didn't make mistakes? No, he didn't call us to be perfect. He calls us to be faithful. He calls us to love faithfully, as Micah said earlier. Pure heart means being willing to seek God in the middle of the mess that we're walking through. Rather than to be right, rather than to be on top. Rather than be the most important or powerful or dominant in a situation. He says, blessed are those who make peace, for they're going to be called the children of God. Blessed are those who are willing to live this different life that Jesus was offering. They're the ones that ought to be honored. Those who are willing to do it differently and not do it the way everybody else is doing. He says, they're the ones that are important in the kingdom. They're the ones that are going to make a difference in the world. They're the ones who's going to let the light of God shine into the darkest situations that come. This is practical advice. The theology that Jesus is planting in the hearts of those that are gathered and bringing to life in our hearts today, in this time, in this place, is a practical theology. Not one to be talked about. Not one just to be studied, talked about, and sung about. But one to be lived out in all kinds of practical ways every single day. He says this is the worship that God's talking about. Just like Micah had said. And again, how honorable are those who suffer for doing what is right. For that kingdom of heaven, this kingdom of heaven belongs to them. How honorable are you when people make fun of you and hurt you because of me. Does that mean that God wants us to be hurt? Does that mean God wants us to suffer? Heck no. That's not what God wants at all. But God says, don't worry. It's these people who are willing to continue to do what is right, even when it's not easy. They're the ones who aren't going to talk about the kingdom of heaven. They're not going to sing about the kingdom of heaven. They're not going to wait for the kingdom of heaven. No, they're going to know that the kingdom of heaven belongs to them right here and right now. When we start to take hold of that fact, this world becomes a different place. And Jesus knew that. In a very real way. He was letting God's Word become flesh. We talk about that at Christmas time. Well, He wants God's Word to become flesh in each one of us. To be lived out in practical ways each and every day. He says, you're also blessed when they tell all kinds of evil lies about you because of me. In other words, not everybody's always going to understand what you're doing or the life you're living or why you're making the decisions that you're making. But that's okay. Because we're called to walk with God and live the life that God wants us to live, not the life that everybody else does. It's not that Jesus wants people to go out and to tell lies. It's not that Jesus wants to go out and to say things that are hurtful. But He knew the reality was it would happen. Because it was happening to Him. Already in his ministry, he was seeing it happen to him. There were people saying all kinds of terrible things about him. There were people that were upset because he was healing people that they didn't want healed. They were upset because he was teaching things that they weren't used to understanding in their own lives. And quite frankly, it was threatening the way that they lived. And that made them upset. Jesus says, well, people are going to lie because of things like that. And there's nothing new under the sun. God doesn't promise us that life, that living a life of faith will be easy. But he does promise that we don't have to do it alone. That he'll be a friend that will walk through whatever it is that we have to face. And that sometimes, as we've talked in the last couple of weeks, he comes as that friend through the flesh of others. Through the friendship that we have with other people as we go through life. He says, be joyful and glad. Be joyful and glad, not because you're suffering, not because people are telling these evil lies. No, be joyful and glad because your reward in heaven is great. There's better things coming, and you can count on that. And he says, in the same way people hurt the prophets who lived long ago. We spent a lot of time through the fall talking about the prophet Jeremiah and the persecution that he faced and how he was misunderstood and how people didn't always like what he was doing. But yet how honorable he was that his names are his stories recorded in the scriptures and handed down through time. And Jesus is saying the same of us. That when we live this life that he calls us to live, that he's revealing in all kinds of real and different ways. But that's the honorable place to be. Those are the things that are going to matter in the future. The things that people are always going to remember and never forget. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Lord, you are at work among us in a special way today because you've promised that where two or three are gathered in your name, you'd be here. We thank you that you come to make known what the kingdom of heaven really looks like and to help us to see where the high places of that society really are. That you teach us how to see the battles in our lives and to live differently in spite of those battles. We pray that you'd come into the heart of each and every one of us. We pray that you'd start there this morning, Lord, and help us to see those things that need to be let go of, those places that we need to show mercy to ourselves, those places that we need to hunger and thirst for you and what is right, rather than the things we've been hungering and thirsting for. We pray that you'd help us to let go of hurtful words that have been spoken, and even hurtful words that we've spoken. We pray that you'd bring healing into those places of our past that needs it this morning in a very real way. We pray, Lord, that you'd pour your Holy Spirit into our community. Community that's filled with strife and conflict and dealing with all kinds of difficult situations. We pray that you'd shine your light into these situations one by one, Lord, and bring about new life. As you teach people how to live differently, even in spite of the things that are going on. We pray that you'd pour out your Holy Spirit around the world, Lord, because we know we're a global community. That we can have friends over the internet in all kinds of different places. And because of those connections, Lord, we also get to see firsthand how deep and wide the strife and struggles and challenges really are. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd pour your Holy Spirit into these places and bring healing and new life. That you'd continue to open our hearts and our minds to what's important to you. That you'd give us, because of our friendship with you, that you'd give us the boldness to speak out in places that we need to be silent in places where we need to stand up for those who don't have a voice for themselves, just as you were doing on the mountain so long ago. We pray, Lord, that we wouldn't only talk about the kingdom of heaven, that we'd not only sing about the kingdom of heaven, but that, Lord, you'd help us to be a part of experiencing the kingdom of heaven right here and right now, not only for our sake, but for your sake and for the sake of this world that we live in, for the sake of the next generation, Lord. So come, Holy Spirit, come. come in a mighty way this morning and to give us the courage and the boldness to walk forward with you. And as always, we ask it all looking forward to what you and you alone can do. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.